prayer. It's good if you have your Bible open to Psalm 11, as we will be looking at that after. But dear church family and everyone here, also online, we are here tonight for our annual prayer day service, where we come together for worship, but also for prayer, which is part of worship, and to ask especially for God's blessing and help in the coming seasons of spring and summer and beyond. There's no doubt that we are living in very challenging times. Everyone says that. Everyone experiences it. Life is full in a way that we hadn't thought of such unknown difficulties and wearisome troubles of late. A lot related to what is called the COVID pandemic. In many respects, we read from Ecclesiastes 1 intentionally for this reason, because that first passage that we read from emphasizes how life under the sun, life apart from God, is just vanity. Vanity of vanities. It's pointless. Totally pointless. Whatever you all do, all your work, it's pointless. That's what is taught in Ecclesiastes. Life under the sun, apart from God. But the point of that message is, don't live life just under the sun, S-U-N, but live life in view of God and trusting and looking to Him and seeking to live for His glory in all your ways. And that's the way of true blessing. And this is what's stressed also in Psalm 11. And let's look at that. It's a short psalm of David where we find him fixed in his faith, that is determined in his faith to make God his confidence, his refuge and strength in all the challenges of life. Regardless what came to him, to David, and regardless what was happening around him in the country, in the culture, literally everything was crumbling and falling apart from top to bottom in this time when David wrote this psalm. Most believe that David wrote this psalm in the time when King Saul was continuing to pursue him and persecute him, as he was doing for years in his envious rage against David. And King Saul, in his reign, he was bringing the whole country to ruin. He was a very poor leader. Everything was coming to nothing, you could say, in Saul's reign. And David received the brunt of many of his bad decisions and his all-around bad behavior, evil behavior. But now in Psalm 11, we are told, as David, being the next anointed king of Israel, how he responded to this all. And therefore, that's why I'm preaching on it this evening, because it's very instructive for us also in our times. In this prayer service, we look for God to bless us, right, in the season ahead. And we will pray for that in a little while. Times look grim and slim out there. And there's a lot of reasons to be frustrated and upset even. And we know people are upset. People are angry. People are frustrated with the way the country is being ruled and with the decisions and the policies that are being made of late, of this past year. But what shall we do? How should we respond? Should we focus on all the problems and negativity? Or shall we look to the Lord? Shall we look to God and put our confidence in Him and trust in Him and in His care and keeping and in His mercy, His provision, His guidance, His keeping for us in our every need still, regardless what may be going on and all the things around us? Well, Psalm 11, rightly understood, surely is meant to teach and encourage us and to model before us the way of faith in God. Not living under the sun, S-U-N, but living under God and in reliance on Him. So let's expand on this under the theme, as Matthew Henry put it in his note on this psalm, which he said is about David's fixed resolution to make God his confidence. And that's what we're going to think about, and three observations we will make. Notice with me that this was his fixed resolution for one in traumatic times, just like we're living in. We already mentioned the setting of the psalm, but something of the traumatic times was that David was going through comes out in the first verse of the psalm. After saying, "In the Lord I put my trust," David responds to those who were urging him to hightail it out of Jerusalem and to forget about his responsibilities and to go in hiding somewhere. Why not just escape and get out of here? David asks, "How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain?" Let's realize here, it was not his enemies who were thus advising David accordingly, but his well-meaning friends. "David, it's just not safe around here with that mad and moody, javelin-swinging King Saul and his spies. So why not just escape from here? Forget your duties and responsibilities and find for yourself some security and rest and relaxation out of here and away from here." Well, that's what he was being told he should do, if he had any sense at all, for his own protection and his well-being. But David resists the counsel, doesn't he? In the face of temptation from his friends and trouble from his enemies, and even in the face of testing from God, notice verse 5, we learn in Psalm 11, David doesn't want to rule his life according to his own plans and according to his own wisdom, but he continues to rely on God for his care and his keeping. Never mind all the hard times he was going through, as he emphatically begins and asserts in verse 1, "In Jehovah I have taken refuge." And there's no reason to stop looking to him. And every reason to stay with him, even when admittedly nothing seems to be going right now. And everything's going on presently looks like it's all falling apart and the foundations are being destroyed. Well, dear congregation, everyone listening, also online, is this same your and my godly resolve also in our times? So bizarre and unsettling and challenging on so many fronts. The plea of Psalm 11, so also of this sermon, is that this same conviction and confession of faith that David here shows be so for you and me as well. For it is and remains the only right and rewarding response, as not only the psalm further will show, but as can be proven in history over and over again. Don't let us arrogantly take matters in our own hands or irresponsibly escape from our daily duties, also for in the coming seasons, but remain steadfast and faithful, even in our traumatic times. Can we not say that temptations and trials and tests in life are meant by God actually to prove us whether we are genuine, gracious, godly, steadfast Christian believers or not? We see David proved by God's grace being a true child of God, for he held on in steadfast trust in God, even in his most traumatic times, far worse than we presently experience, by the way. And notice how he did so too. What does the psalm tell us further? After the three opening verses telling of the traumatic times that he was in and the difficulties he faced, David explains further his fixed resolve to make his confidence, to make God his confidence always, in view of the Lord himself. This is our second point. In view of the Lord himself. That's why he had this fixed resolve in his traumatic times, in view of the Lord himself. And doesn't this come out in verses 4 to 7? In verse 4, literally, we see David looking up to the Lord in his temple, referring ultimately to the temple in heaven above, because the temple wasn't even built yet in Jerusalem. And notice, not only does David speak of the Lord high and lifted up above all others, but also, notice, as one who sits on the throne of majesty and might and glory. In other words, David is showing us here the reason for his confidence in the Lord, because he knows and believes God Almighty reigns still, even in the crazy times he was living in those most traumatic times. Plus, David goes on to say, the Lord from heaven, he remains caring and faithful about what's going on earth. He's overseeing it all, we can be sure, and he will bless the righteous. And he will bring to nothing the unrighteous and the ungodly. Knowing the glory of God and the steadfast character of God and the sovereignty of God and the faithfulness of God and the promises of God for his people, shall we not remain steadfast in trusting him year after year, day by day, season upon season, even in our crazy 21st century? To the question posed to David, not by the wicked, I remind you, but by his friends, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? David responds, let's look up to the Lord still and trust him regardless. In this example from David, in this psalm, two important life lessons are taught us. The first is that our comfort and peace and having everything in life be just smooth and secure and easy and comforting for us should never be our highest goal and our main focus in life. It wasn't David's either. Rather, life is about living for God and for good above all else. Listen to how one commentator put this point. Quote, this is a psalm, he writes, that comes straight from a crisis. It opens with a spiritual retort to some demoralizing bad advice, and it goes on to show what is the real scale and pattern of events and what is more to be prized than earthly safety and worldly security and prosperity. And dear congregation, isn't this important for us, for you and me to keep in mind in tonight's annual prayer service? Your and my prayers tonight, or at any time, are not rightly focused if we tonight have come here simply to ask God mainly to make things better for us in this life here and now, and to have us be prospering and feel comfortable as if that's the ultimate important matter. No, but praying in a right frame of mind and heart, in true faith and repentance before God tonight and at any time, means praying, Lord, please bless us in a way that most brings honor to your name, even as we pray it may do us good as well. When we make our own safety and our own comfort in life our main and top aim, it's just a form of idolatry. And isn't that something we must always beware of in our lives? For surely no one of us can really be blessed living in idolatry in any way, putting something ahead of the one true God in our lives. And the second life lesson of God through David here is clearly in this little psalm, we were being taught the God of the Bible. He's very great. He's very great. Look and listen to the one way. Look at the way David describes the Lord, his God, in verses 4 to 7. David proclaims God as a holy and just God, and one who loves righteousness and hates evil, and one who will surely punish the wicked, even as he will surely bless those who trust and follow him. Again, as one commentator dramatically summarized the verses 4 to 7, quote, all of this psalm, he wrote, tells us God is not a mere three-letter word. No, the God of the Bible also is not just a formless blob of celestial protoplasm or some sort of cosmic jello with a sickly smile. Rather, he has a holy nature and a holy character, positive and negative. He is not the grand relativist, but the living extremist who hates the wicked and loves the righteous and will make it plain both ways sooner or later. Let the flaming passion of the words of Psalm 11, verse 4 to 7, wrote this person, slither down the throat of your soul and see how different this biblical view of God is from the sentimental deity people imagine today. There is nothing bland about Jehovah God. End of quote. Well, dear congregation, don't we need to be reminded of this biblical view of God in our times as well? Let us remember, God reigns. He's on the throne. And he is a holy God. And he is a just God. He's always righteous in all his ways. And the Lord will take care of those who stomp on his word and who scoff at his will and who are out to hurt and hinder his people. And the Lord in his mercy and grace will remember and care for all his own who look to Jesus as their refuge and salvation. There is never a time, we learn from this psalm, when his people are out of God's mind or out of his sight and out of his shepherding ministry. As we are told, look in verse 4, his eyes behold and his eyelids test the sons of men. What reasons, therefore, not to be discouraged when trusting him, even in hard times? Why should we be as a bird fleeing to the mountains for a hiding place with this God as our refuge and trust? No danger we face ever is hidden from the Lord. No challenge, no trouble we go through is unknown to him. And are we not safest always confiding in him alone? Oh, let all those who scoff at God and his word and will and his way, let them remember the fearful words of Psalm 11, verse 6, telling about the horrible tempest to fall on the wicked and unbelieving. God is not kidding when he says that. But let all those who look to the Lord in spirit and truth be glad and stay with God and his word. And you need not fear anything, come what may. With the Lord on your side, what Psalm 11 writes about God being there for his people is not a fib either. It's the truth. So you see, dear congregation, can we not and may we not so apply this psalm now in our present day setting with all the trauma of our times and considering God changes not, but is ever the almighty, just, holy, righteous, covenant-keeping God for his people, even for as many as trust and follow him. Yes, for here, consider, yes, the third last observation about David's fixed resolve to make God his confidence. This faith confidence he has is in traumatic times. It's in view of God. And thirdly, notice, it's never in vain. It's never in vain because God the Lord loves to be relied on in all our needs. And time and again, he has proven infinitely reliable for all who trust and follow him. And there's someone in history who very much lived out and by this psalm, even in a perfect way, who guarantees what Psalm 11 teaches us. And who is that? Well, we know. It's Jesus. We know David himself didn't always live up to this testimony of trust and confidence on the Lord, no matter what. In fact, he sometimes miserably failed. But Jesus, the son of David, when he came here to serve as Savior of sinners, he did live out and by this psalm completely and perfectly in his life, even to the death on the cross. Isn't that true? No matter what Jesus faced, no matter what he faced, yet the Savior trusted in God his Father, and he would fulfill the tasks given him by God, no matter what. Oh yes, his friends then too tried to dissuade him, saying, Lord, don't go up to Jerusalem now. They're all out there to kill you. And one of the disciples, remember, took a sword to try to prevent Jesus' arrest. But Jesus trusted God his Father. And so he continued on. He had a mission and a ministry to fulfill as given to him by God. And even if all hell should break out upon him and against him, he purposed to do what was given him to do in perfection to the end. Jesus knew his life wasn't mainly about comforts for himself, but rather it was all about self-sacrifice in fulfilling his calling that he might be the faithful Savior of sinners, for sinners like us, to the fullest measure. So in this psalm, congregation, we are taught the way of true Christianity, ever looking to the Lord and relying on him as ultimately revealed in Christ, the crucified and risen Redeemer. Yes, through his resurrection, Jesus was proven. He was not putting his confidence in God, his Father, wrongly or without true blessing. And when we have the same focus as Jesus perfectly had, and as David shows he had by God's grace in Psalm 11, can we not trust God? He will take care of us. No matter what we go through, he will take care of us. and lead us in a way he knows best. The psalm ends, notice how it ends, reflecting no greater blessing can there be for us than that the favor of God's countenance be upon us. The last phrase of the psalm can be translated both as the Lord's countenance beholding the upright, or the upright beholding the Lord's countenance. And either way, the point is to be living day by day, whatever we face, always having the blessing of God triune upon us and with us in his mercy and love in and through Jesus Christ. Congregation, this is of highest priority. Also in this coming seasons, more than having the blessing of God upon our earthly life here and now, and having a prosperous season. Is it true of us that for us, we desire more than anything God's loving favor upon us? Is that our highest priority? That you have the Lord shining upon us in his love and care in our troubles, in our difficult times in which we live. In conclusion, as another put it again so well, what is Psalm 11 saying to us? It is saying that faith needs discernment to filter out counsels of despair and fear. And faith needs vision to see the just and reigning God. And faith needs hope that anticipates awaking and gazing on his face. And all this should prove a real help when everything else falls apart. Yes, that is it, dear congregation. And isn't it fitting to be reminded of this gospel instruction with noting David's fixed resolution to make God his confidence? As the Psalter version of Psalm 11 puts it, especially in the first and last stanza, "In God will I trust, though my counselors say, oh, flee as a bird to your mountain away. The wicked, his anger, will drive from their place. The upright in rapture shall gaze upon his face." So I'd say how relevant this word is for sure. Also, as we face this spring and summer of 2021. And tonight we gather here to ask the Lord's blessing on our labors and responsibilities and cares in our brief earthly pilgrimage here and now. May this sermon proclamation based on Psalm 11 spur us on now in prayer that for none of us life be vanity of vanities, but rather by grace through faith in God be blessing upon blessing from God with the face of God shining upon us in his love and care all our pilgrimage journey. Amen.